Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, let me say this. We're in the midst of a Bible study series on the topic of heaven. We talked about the five different heavens. Now, while you're turning, I'm going to give you a quiz. We said the first heaven was what?
Atmosphere.
We said the second heaven was what? All right. I used the term third heaven, which was paradise or the heart of the earth for the Old Testament. And then we had the fourth heaven, which is where God lives now. And then we said the fifth one is the new heaven, and there'll be a new earth as well. So that was 1 week. We talked about our bodies in heaven. We talked about the reality of heaven and how we know it's real. We talked about all kinds of different things. Tonight, this is going to be a Baptist sermon to the nth degree. Tonight, we're going to talk about the food of heaven. All right? The food of heaven. And what would heaven be without food? Amen? If it's not there, then Brother Stoltz isn't going. All right? So I'm going whether there's food or not, because I looked at the alternative and I'd rather still go. All right, but Psalm 78, I want you to follow along with me here. Look at verse number 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now look at me. What would God need to furnish a table for? That's for eating.
Amen.
All right, furnish a table, meaning God's going to put a dinner table out there with food on it. All right, here we go. Look at verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. Watch this. The clouds above opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat, and he gave them of the, what's the next word? Corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food and sent them meat to the full. Now, I want you to notice something here. It wasn't angels' food cake. Okay, it said angels' food. It was made from corn, not from sugar. All right, but we'll get into that in a minute here. Heaven, and I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to this very carefully. Heaven is not going to be a place that fulfills all of your desires. It's a place where all of your desires will be as God wants them to be.
Amen.
And they will be fulfilled. Because we're sinners, many of our desires, and I don't mean this the wrong way, if not all of our desires, are tainted a little bit by sin. What we desire now, somewhat, is tainted by sin. When we get to heaven, our desires aren't going to be tainted by sin. Some of you came out of maybe drinking alcohol or doing drugs or maybe an immoral background, and there are some tastes there and some desires there that you've been able to overcome, but they still may be there. When you get to heaven, that little nagging won't be there. If you gave up smoking, and every once in a while you smell that nasty smoke and you say, man, I'd like to have another cigarette or another cigar or another pipe or something, guess what? In heaven, you'll never have that feeling. Now, it's not a place where all of our desires are fulfilled. It's a place where God changes our desires to meet what his desires are. Now, I say that because I think some things that we wonder about here that will be in heaven will be very unimportant when we actually get there.
Right.
How many times have you caught yourself, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this? Probably you won't need to. It probably won't be important. I think we'll be able to better understand, and I think we'll see more of the big picture once we get there. But I also believe this, and I'm going to bring this out in one of our Bible studies. When you die and go to heaven, you don't all of a sudden have omniscience and know everything. matter of fact, when you get to heaven, the only thing that changes is your sin nature. You'll enter heaven at the same spiritual level you leave earth. And that means you're going to have some catching up to do. Now, you'll not have the sinful desires, you won't have the sinful memories, and you won't have that clouding you, but you're not going to all of a sudden become God and know everything. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. We'll be part of that up there. Now, this series on heaven has been very little of, and I can't say there's been none, but there's been very little of my opinion. When it's been my opinion, I've let you know. Tonight is not going to be any different. I try not to use speculation. There are some things I'll use biblical logic with and say, if you disagree with me on this, that's fine, because I think you could build a case either way. This is how I feel, but I'll let you know it's my opinion. It's not doctrinal, but I say that to say this. God has not given us the menu for heaven. You won't find God's menu printed in that book right there. But he gives us glimpses of what heaven will be like in reference to food. If you went to a restaurant that didn't have any menus, you just sat down and they fed you whatever, you might go back or you might not go back. You say, why? Because I don't know what I'm getting. Well, God gives you just a little idea, but he says, once you get here, it'll be okay, because I'm going to give you my desires. And once you have my desires, it won't matter what you eat. It'll be all right. Now, I can't tell you every food that will be present in heaven. Anybody that tells you they can are lying. Okay? I can only take what God gives us in Scripture, show you what it says, and we'll go from there. But as I mentioned before, not always is it just heaven that God reveals things about heaven. For instance, last week we talked about our bodies in heaven. I used the resurrected body of Jesus because that was the body he had in heaven. Amen. And he was able to survive on earth as well as in heaven in that resurrected body. That is a heavenly body. And so some of this will be based on that as well. Now, let me just get going here. Psalm 78, because I am going to get you out right at 8 o'clock. I'm going to land the plane whether I got to crash it or not. All right. Here in Psalm 78, God is reminding us how he cared for the Jews in the wilderness for the 40 years after they were expelled out of Egypt, out of bondage. Remember, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They crossed the Red Sea, got to the other side. They were in the Sinai Peninsula. And while they were over there, they got hungry. And when they got hungry, they said, can God give us a table in the wilderness? And it made God mad. He said, I didn't bring you out of Egypt to let you starve to death. He had Moses take his rod and strike the rock at Horeb, and the water gushed out and took care of the needs of somewhere between 3.5 and 5 million Jews every day for 40 years. Now, folks, 3.5 to 5 million Jews at 10 gallons of water a day, that's 35 million gallons of water minimum. That's not including all their herds. Probably close to 100 million gallons of water. And the Bible says that that rock followed them. I don't know if that means that that rock literally rolled around everywhere they went for 40 years, or that the river it made followed them. I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. There was enough water that came out of that rock, which is about 11 hours of water that falls over Niagara Falls every day. That's a lot of water. All right. Now, I say that to say this. Then they were hungry. He said, Moses, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to rain down something called manna. It's angels' food. It's the corn of heaven. And I'm going to allow the Jews to gather it 6 days a week. They'll gather just enough for each person every day, 6 days a week. On the sixth day, they're going to gather enough for 2 days because of the Sabbath. They're not supposed to work, and I won't send it on the Sabbath. That means this. Listen to this very carefully. And that God provided that for 40 years. There was no Food Lion, no Aldi's, no Walmart, no Martin's. They had manna. And God provided it for 40 years. Now, I want you to notice, God says here in verse 24, and he rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. All right? Now, the corn of heaven, God called it angels' food or manna. Notice, man was able to eat food that was from heaven that angels ate. That means their bodies and our bodies cohabitate in the reference of being able to eat the same foods. My Bible says in the book of Psalms that man was made a little lower than the angels. Guess what? If angels have food, guess what? They eat. Now, everybody doing all right? Now, God let this happen. You have to understand something. God brought manna down 12,500 times almost in those 40 years. They ate manna over 15,000 days. That's a long time. That's longer than some of y'all been alive. It's just a drop in the bucket to some of you. I'm not looking in that corner. All right? But tonight, I want to talk about this food of heaven for a while. All right. Now, first of all, God calls it bread. Notice in Psalm 78, verse 24, and he rained down manna upon them to eat. He had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them full. You go back earlier, and he said, verse 20, can he give bread also? Wow. This manna was called bread. Turn your Bible. You're going to use your Bible tonight. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And I am going to fly through some of these verses. I've got more verses than we can keep up with. But look at Exodus 16, verse number 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, God said he's going to rain bread. He called it in Psalm 78, the corn of heaven. It's cornbread, amen? say, is it sweet cornbread or is it the other cornbread? It doesn't say. You'll have, by the way, your desires will change, so who gives a rip, amen? But God brought it down. In Exodus chapter 16, look at verse number 31. God tells us how it tastes and what it looked like. All right? Exodus chapter 16, verse number 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. In other words, it was sweet cornbread, amen? Not the southern style, but it was white like a coriander seed. It was very small. It would have been about the size of your little fingernail, all right? And there was just little bitty pieces of it all over, like dew, all over the ground. They had to pick an ephah of it per person, per day. An ephah is about a dry gallon. It's a big box load. Okay? It's roughly the size of a four-cylinder engine in a car. Okay? That's the best way to for you fellas to understand it. All right? If you saw the engine block of a four-cylinder engine, that's about a dry gallon. Takes about 4 quarts of oil to fill it, and it's about the same volume as a dry gallon. They had to have one of those every day per person in the house. So if you had 20 kids, you had a lot of picking to do. And you had to get it before the sun came up. In other words, God wants us to get our carcass out of bed and get busy early in the morning to get our food. Amen? Now, It was tasted like wafers with honey as the taste. It was sweet. Did you know corn is generally sweet? Corn is used as a sweetener. And I could go on and on. I'm not going to go into all of that. It was very versatile, much like corn is. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. It wasn't just a piece of bread, but they were able to break it down and use it for other things. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was coriander seed, was as coriander seed. The color thereof was as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now, you have to understand something. That fresh oil is much like fresh olive oil. Fresh olive oil is a very, it's very tasteful. It's not like taking a bite of Crisco. All right. It's not like taking a taste of butter. It's a sweeter, it's a flavored type thing. It was very versatile. They could grind it, they could beat it, they could turn it into cakes, they could turn it into different types of things. I'm sure they came up with their own cookbook for manna. Maybe when they had quail, they breaded the quail in it. I have no idea, but they knew what to do with it. You say, why? Because if you had to eat the same thing 15,000 times, you're going to figure something else to do with it. I'll promise you. Now, my wife would say, you wouldn't. You're right. I would just push it down the hatch. It wouldn't matter. But most people aren't that way. Now, no human had ever seen it before. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you have to understand something. God called this angels' food. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse number 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Look at verse number 16. Same chapter, verse number 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that they might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. I want you to notice something. God gave them bread because it was from the word of his mouth. In the New Testament, John, I believe, chapter 6, it says that Jesus is the bread of life.
That's right.
And every bite of that bread was to remind them that God's word was he was going to take care of their every need. Do you know that every culture in the world has some type of bread that they eat? It is the most base, common food in the world. It's not all made of corn or not all made of wheat or not all made of rye, but every culture has some type of bread. By the way, that's why Jesus can save any culture of people.
Amen,
amen. And his word can permeate to any people group. All right. Now, notice that the human body was sustained by it as well as angels. Psalm 78 said it was angels' food, but God sent it to man. It took care of man's body, but it also took care of the angels. In other words, and by the way, the angels weren't coming down and eating it. They were eating it in heaven. So manna will be in heaven. Boy, that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to tasting it. Amen. Now, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. Whew, man, somebody shoot that clock. John chapter 6. My wife said, so you really think you're going to be able to teach a whole lesson on the food of heaven? Yes. All right, John chapter 6, look at verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Wow. Bread from heaven to eat. Not only is there manna there, but there's bread there. Look at verse 49, same chapter. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Look at me. That manna was a representation of Jesus' broken body. Our salvation. When we take the Lord's Supper. The little unleavened bread. What is that? Picture of the manna. Picture of Jesus' broken body. The what it took to give us eternal life. Now, I've got to hurry. Number two, let's go to the next thing. Jesus ate bread, fish, and honeycomb in his heavenly body. Take your Bible, turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, just a couple pages back there. Luke 24, look at verse number 30. Jesus, after he died and resurrected, and he came back to earth, after he had put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, he's about ready to go back to be in heaven where he is today, waiting to come back for the rapture. Look at verse number 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Look at verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Notice that word spirit, we would use the word ghost. All right? Just like Peter, when he was out on the water and Jesus was walking on the water, they said, it's the Lord. He said, no, it's not. It's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's not Peter. It's me. He said, if it be thou, bid me come thee on the water. He was believing in ghosts. You know, some of you would not have liked the disciples doctrinally, because when they got scared, they went wonky doctrinally for a while. They started talking about believing in ghosts more than once. All right, keep going here. Verse 38. And he saith unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? In other words, you guys got anything to eat around here? I'm hungry. And they gave him of a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. You say, why did he do that? Because a spirit doesn't eat food. A body does, but a spirit doesn't. Look at verse 44. And he saith unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. By the way, notice he called the prophets, the law of Moses, and the Psalms scripture. And they weren't the originals. Do you know there was more time between Moses and when Jesus spake than there has been since Jesus left this earth to where we are today? The Bible's not just the Bible in the originals. It's still the Bible. All right? But I want you to know something. In verse 30, he ate bread. In verse 42, he ate broiled fish and honeycomb. In other words, he ate bread, he ate fish, and he ate honeycomb. He was eating in his glorified body, because notice he went in and out of the room without the doors or the windows being open. Everybody doing all right? If Jesus could do that, that's what, and we will be fashioned like him in heaven, that's what we'll be able to eat. Now, I'm not telling you that we're going to be eating meat in heaven, but I know this, we could eat meat if that's what's available. I don't believe necessarily, and this is my opinion, if Jesus ate broiled fish, it wasn't sinful for him to eat it.
Right.
So to say we're only going to eat fruits and vegetables in heaven, I don't know that that's always true.
Amen.
Well, there's not going to be any death in heaven. Do you know what happens to the plant the moment you take it off the plant?
Yes, sir.
It dies.
That's right.
So we better carry that philosophy all the way through. I don't know if we're going to eat meat or not in heaven. I know this, our glorified body will have the ability to, because Jesus has did. Amen? Everybody doing all right? he did it to prove that he was not a ghost. And I want you to notice something. The heavenly body can eat earthly food. Jesus in his heavenly body ate earthly food. Man in his earthly body ate heavenly food. It goes both ways. Now, everybody doing all right? I will say this. I don't believe in heaven our appetite will control us like it does now. I don't think that our bodies are going to be driven by food. I believe food will be there for us to enjoy, but I'm not saying that we're going to have to eat like we eat down here. And I think we'll understand, I think our senses will be in an enhanced state to taste it without sin. I think it will taste better, different. I think we'll be able to understand it and smell it a little different. I was using my beagle dog as an illustration. Her nose can smell stuff that's just unbelievable. You watch these dogs that are trained to follow blood trails or follow people trails or follow sniff for drugs. They can smell drugs through a car, through an 18-wheeler that's turned on with gas fumes, and they can pinpoint it to the very spot those drugs are. Man, their noses are so fine-tuned. I believe that if an animal can have a sense that careful, I believe kind of that will be that way when we get to heaven with our senses. I really believe that. That's my opinion. I'm not going to argue with you over it. That's just how I feel. I have 10 minutes to hurry up with this last point. All right. Actually, I have two, but I'll combine them into one. Number next, Jesus ate fish with his disciples again in his body. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. He not only did it once, we know that it's recorded, he did it at least twice. John chapter 21, look at verse number 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Notice something. These are fish that the disciples caught in the Sea of Galilee. They had just caught them. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net was not yet broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. I want you to know something. He ate fish with them. When we read this passage, this is a fairly famous passage to preach from. Simon, do you love me more than these? He wasn't talking about these disciples. He said, do you love me more than these fish? The disciples had left the ministry to go back to the fishing industry. He said, Peter, don't you love me more than you love these stupid fish? Don't you love me more than going out and fishing and selling these fish and making money? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He asked him that question three times. But notice it wasn't these people, it was these things, these fish. He said, don't you love me more than a bunch of stinky old fish? He said, finally, he got the point. All right? And we'll leave it at that. It was broiled. It wasn't raw. Now, you can eat raw fish all you want, but the Bible says the life is in the blood, and we're not supposed to eat that which has the blood in it. Now, I like mine just warmed up to where the blood's not blood anymore. But not much more than that. Amen? It can still run red, just not run blood. Knock the horns off and put a match under it for a little bit and warm it up real good. Amen? But I don't like eating raw meat, but I know some of you think the way I eat my steak is raw, but it's not raw. It's above body temperature. I promise you. Now, every time Jesus ate it, it was broiled. It wasn't raw. All right? I'm not saying it's sinful, but I want you to notice again, Jesus ate of the fish that came from the earth. He didn't bring the fish down from heaven. He ate what was here in his glorified body. Disciples ate bread from heaven that came from heaven to earth. So it's going both directions. Now, I've got to hurry here. Number next. There will be a marriage supper or feast in heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. It's actually Revelation chapter 19. I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong chapter down. As soon as I started looking, I knew I had it wrong. 19. I'm fixing it in my notes here. Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Look at verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, I want you to notice something here. There's talking here about the marriage feast of the Lamb. Can I tell you something? A marriage supper. What's served at supper? Food. It's not going to be a marriage drink. They're not going to juice things and we're going to sit there and eat juice. It says supper. I know it doesn't say dinner. Okay, supper is the evening meal. It's the big one of the day, usually. When you say we're having a big supper, that means it's time to pork out, amen? God's going to throw a big marriage feast, a marriage supper for those of us that are saved, that are raptured with him, that were part of the church, that go to heaven, and we gather together to become the bride for the first time. The marriage feast, marriage supper, that comes after a wedding. Well, most weddings have cake. Glory to God, we're going to eat cake in heaven. That's opinion. All right. But there's angels' food, so there must be cake there, right? Now, we know there's fruit in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Notice, there is 12 different fruits on these trees. And it says it bears fruit 12 months. I do not know, the Bible does not say, that one fruit's this month, one fruit's this month, one fruit's this month, one fruit's this month. It doesn't say if all 12 fruits are on there and it's continually bearing fruit. It's going to be one or the other. I don't care which one you pick. But may I say this, the fruit's there for a reason. What would the fruit be there for?
Eaten.
The fruit's there to be eaten. So there's fruit in heaven. There's a supper in heaven. There's corn and bread in heaven. And Jesus ate fish and honeycomb and bread here on earth from earthly food. So there's going to be food in heaven. Now, I'm going to finish with this last thought. I have about 3 minutes. And I'm right on time. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We know there's horses in heaven. We know there's many other different things in heaven. Now I want you to notice Acts chapter 10. Don't get mad at me. All right? But I want you to think with me for a moment. And we're going to let God do the talking here. Look at verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very, what's the next word? Okay, did you ever see a hungry man? He can be a bear. He doesn't care what he's about to put down the pie hole, he just wants to pack it in, amen? All right, here we go. And he became very hungry and would have eaten But while they made ready, he fell into a trance or a sleep state and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of earth and wild beasts and creeping things in fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." My favorite verse in all the Bible. No, but Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into where?
Heaven.
Wow. Peter actually saw a sheet come down. Picture Yogi Bear with his picnic biscuit, and Ranger Bob, and got the big old picnic thing there, and all the food in it, and you gather it by the four corners and pick it up. Peter saw one of those coming down out of heaven. I don't know if it was red and white checked. I do not know. But I know it came down, opened up, and it said there were all manner of four-footed beasts and fowls and things. And it was contrary to the Jewish diet. And he said, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't eat something that is common." And God said, "Don't you call it common if I cleansed it." Where did it come from? Came out of heaven. Now, my concluding thought. I don't know that all those critters are there and we're going to eat them all. But I do know this. God brought some down out of on a sheet out of heaven for Peter. By the way, if you read the rest of Acts chapter 10, he talks about David. He uses the reference of David eating the holy bread when he wasn't supposed to. And he said it was okay. It was not sinful for him. And you're not better than David was. Wow. So maybe what was considered common or unclean won't be considered common or unclean in heaven. And we know that these all came down from heaven. There's going to be plenty of food in heaven. I can't tell you what the menu will be. I can't tell you every food that you'll eat. I can tell you there's corn there. There's manna there. That we know that Jesus ate bread. We know that he ate fish. We know that he ate honeycomb. We saw that we know there's fruit there. We know that food came down from heaven. We know that people in heaven came down here and ate food from here. We know people here ate food from there. Guess what? We're going to be eating in heaven. And there's going to be a great big old supper there one day. Praise the Lord. I don't think we'll be driven by our hunger like we are here. But I do think food will be there for our enjoyment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just a simple Bible study, but one I thought interesting. Reference to the topic of heaven. Folks, heaven's a real place. Our loved ones and our friends that are there, they eat. They have relationships. They'll know people there. They'll know us when we get there. We'll know them when we get there. They have real things to see and do there. We'll have real jobs to do. It's a real place, and there'll be real food there.